Hi, I'm Brian Holes, the music director here at KX93.5. I invite you to listen to more music and talk programs on our grassroots, nonprofit radio station here in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world via kx93.5.com/listen, our smartphone apps, or tune in. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
KX93.5, Laguna's only FM.
This is KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Brian Holst, and I'm on the phone right now with Alan of Big Data. How
are
you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It is big data, right? Because people say it both ways sometimes. Let's get this clear.
I say data. I've done a little research on the matter, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Right.
But apparently, it is okay to say the word either way, like according to Google. I prefer to say data.
You know, according to Google, a tortoise is a type of turtle, but they're definitely different. They're amphibian, reptilian, so who knows?
We probably shouldn't trust that Google guy anyway.
Well, you know, it's really funny, actually, that you mentioned that, because I had this random moment of panic yesterday where I was looking at some Jane's Addiction lyrics, and what I heard wasn't in the lyrics, and someone else said, well, that's not what they actually said. And I had that realization, like, with all these, you know, different repositories for lyrics or other sources of information, if one person gets it wrong and everyone copycats, yep, it's like we're screwed.
Oh, dude, I'm the victim of that. In Dangerous, there's the lyric to take me to the court, because the idea is that, you know, you're being pursued by the bad guys and they're going to take you to court. And someone on some lyric site somewhere said, take me to the club. And now all these covers have popped up online, and people say, take me to the club instead of take me to the court.
Oh, that has to be a little painful.
Sometimes when I see, when Dan from Joywave and I, or when we perform the song together, sometimes we'll actually sing it with club instead as like a little inside joke. It is court, for the record.
I'm glad that we could help you straighten that out. Hopefully people are paying attention.
Yeah, right. You heard it here.
You know, it's actually funny. Now that you mentioned Joywave, that's a good moment to ask you about something I was going to mention, which is that, you know, for example, sure, Dangerous, that's a song that we played, I think, about a year or so ago, before the whole album, yeah, had come out. And when you have a project like this album where it's very heavy on the collaborations, how do you bring that into, yep, a live setting? What do you guys do?
That was one of the first things I kind of had to figure out once all the touring opportunities started appearing. Because, you know, when I started the project, it was really as a producer project. I was just working with vocalists. And then when, you know, real actual touring started to become a reality, I knew that I wanted the show to feel more like a rock band or a live band rather than a DJ kind of thing, even though there are, you know, lots of electronic things going on in the music. So my big idea was for me to basically sing the male parts and then to have a female vocalist sing, obviously, the female stuff, but also just the higher male stuff. Like Dan from Joywave, for example, just has a much higher voice than I do. So I can't hit a lot of those notes. Live, it's me and a female singer.
So, like, you know, I'm curious, when you write some of these songs, like, you know, recently we were playing Get Some Freedom with Dragonette, or perhaps The Business of Emotion with White Sea, do you write that with the vocalist in mind, or do you kind of write it and see who kind of might fit the part after the fact?
It's sort of a little bit of both. I'd say more often than not, I'm just writing the track first, just the instrumental stuff. And I'm kind of just writing whatever comes out of me. And then once I sort of have a track that's presentable, I start to reach out to different vocalists to collaborate with. So most of the time it happens that way. But sometimes I know that, you know, I'm going to be working with this person in a week or 2 weeks or whatever. And if I don't already have something written, then I really do kind of write with them in mind, because I know that we're going to work together. It's pretty rare that I would write something with someone I'd like to sing on it, because you never know who's going to be available. Or
you're pinging, everyone's ping-ponging around for shows and whatnot. And, you know, there's some such a collaborative spirit to a lot of for a lack of a better way to put it, because I know that it's such a subjective term, but indie music, whether it be indie rock, sure, or indie pop or indie electronic, sure, which, and it kind of fuses together anyhow.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it is really, yeah, interesting, and it's refreshing, yep, to me. I mean, you have a really impressive roster of names on your album. So,
yep,
you know, Rivers Cuomo,
wow,
Dragonette.
Thanks, man.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, these are people that I've liked for quite a long time, and we've liked what you're doing. So
me too.
do you kind of feel like a kid in the candy shop sometimes? Like, holy cow. I'm like,
absolutely.
So you have a show coming up this Saturday, and it's, yeah, going to be at the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa. And you're playing with Capital Cities, yep, another band we're quite fond,
oh,
of.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man.
You know what? When a band has a trumpet player, you gotta give them some credit, or at least on some of the songs.
You gotta represent.
Right.
totally.
So what's ahead for you for the rest of the year? Are you gonna just keep doing one-off shows like this, or are you planning on getting back in the writing phase? Or
definitely, yeah, definitely trying to write as much as I can when I'm home. It's hard for me to write on the road, but the days that I'm home, I do. I'm just trying to write it, whatever comes out, really. And I'm trying to kind of write without necessarily a goal, in the sense of if I write something and then it feels Big Data-ish, then fantastic. And if it doesn't feel Big Data-ish, I still want to kind of explore it and see what it is.
And so, what's, yeah, Big Data-ish kind of to you?
I mean, writing.
How would you describe Big Data-ish?
I think there's a certain sort of, like, I think it's kind of dancey and dark, but sort of pop, like with pop structure to it. That's usually the beginning of it, at least.
Have you been surprised that some alternative stations have kind of picked up on some of the songs?
I'm definitely really happy and grateful about it. I always thought of the music I made as electronic more than anything, but the reality is, genres just kind of in general, and it's actually sort of the same idea with collaborations. Like, a lot of the lines that used to separate genres and artists and stuff are really gone, thanks to the internet and just thanks to the way the music business is now. So, you know, you hear a lot of electronic music on the alternative stations, and you hear alternative stuff on the pop stations, and, you know, it's a pretty exciting time for music, because a lot of the boundaries are kind of gone now.
I think, so, yeah.
On the one hand, I maybe was a little surprised to be called alternative, and on the other hand, alternative just means, like, not mainstream, so...
Exactly, and you,
yeah,
hit it on the head. Yeah, no, you hit it on the head, because
right,
we have these conversations sometimes. You know, people think of alternative rock as being something like, you know, Foo Fighters or Stone Temple Pilots or something like that, which...
Right.
You know, it is a cookie-cutter way, and that's not incorrect, but once upon a time, when there, right, was alternative stations... It wasn't a predefined,
yeah,
genre yet.
Yeah,
it was an alternative to the mainstream.
Totally.
And
those were the kinds of bands that you would probably associate with alternative when alternative first kind of became a thing. So, you know, they're kind of like the flagship alternative bands in a way.
Or at least what people most associate.
Really can mean anything now.
Right. And, you know, the thing about, yeah, genre that you is, I think you kind of started to pick up or at least talk about in a sense. It's just like with the internet these days, I mean, genre is somewhat subjective as it is anyhow. But I think the one thing that really kind of made me just kind of go eh to genre to a certain degree was dubstep. Because I remember once upon,
right,
a time being in college and reading lots of Pitchfork, and, you know, dubstep was, you know, people like Burial and this sort of dark,
yeah, Burial,
you know,
yeah,
very like, instrumental. But and,
like
and now
garage,
you say dubstep and,
yeah,
people think like really up-tempo, like house music or electronic stuff. And I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
Well, it was a pleasure,
yeah,
talking to you. And thanks for taking some time. We're obviously going to keep playing your album, giving it some love. And we look forward to what is next.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Have a good one.